I see shattered, but you see whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful, and you're helping. Nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. Wash me in mercy. I am clean. What was dead now lives again. My heart's beating inside my chest. Oh, I'm coming alive with joy and destiny. Nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. Wash me in mercy. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I'm clean. I'm clean. Oh, oh, oh. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. I am clean.
If you can't feel the presence of God in that song, I'm telling you, amazing. And Jewel, you opened up quite a bit this morning, and that was meant to be for somebody. So thank you for just following the Spirit there. It took a lot of courage to say that, didn't it? A lot of courage. And we sit back and we think that we're holier than thou, and we find out, you know what? Man, we all got monsters in our closet. Mine just looks better than y'all. That's the only difference. That's how we feel, right? Mine just looks better. But we all got them. All right, beautiful. Thank you, man. That's, whew, man, powerful worship this morning. Man. All right, children, dismiss to Sunday school. If you have an offering, put it in the giving well and be dismissed. I want to thank Rachel back here heading out the door, helping out for the first time. Say a prayer for her. Hope it's not the only time. Be finding Psalms 51 this morning. Psalms 51. Oh, goodness. This is when David had... David's crying out to God in chapter 51. He had had his affair with Bathsheba. And as you know the story, if you don't know the story, I'll do a quick recap in case you've never heard the story of David and Bathsheba. I've learned this generation that everybody doesn't always know the stories you think they should because we're in a very unchurched generation. So let me recap very quickly. David was king. David was a good man. God appointed David to be king. And David served God. David loved God. Well, one day David got his eyes, King David, and understand this. You know, we always say, there's never enough, right? Well, David proves that. If I could just make $50,000 a year, I'd be okay. No, you wouldn't, because you'd want $60,000 and $70,000. You know, if I just had that woman, no, because you'd want the other woman and the other woman and the other woman. You know, if I just had that rifle, well, yeah, but then you want to upgrade, put the scope on it, and you want the other rifle. You know, if I could just have that Harley, yeah, but then you'd want the other Harley after you rode that Harley. No, it's never enough. Now, King David had plenty of women to sleep with. That wasn't the issue. David didn't have his calendar could have been filled for several years in advance with different women and been okay because he had what they call, we don't have these no more, Lillian. You know, it's kind of a shame, I guess. No, I'm playing. We don't have these no more, but they're called concubines. Remember that? Concubines. So you had your wife and you had all the other women that were ready just to, you know, have their night with the king. And we don't have that no more. And if that law comes across, you know, I vote for that. No, I'm playing. I really don't vote for that. I don't vote for that. But I'm saying, David had plenty of opportunity to be with women. There's no shortage of female companionship. But one day, King David walks out, and he sees this beautiful woman called Bathsheba bathing on the porch, they said. This ain't like the farmhouse porch in the country, okay? We're talking about it's a different setting. So she's out, she's bathing, David sees her, says, man, she's hot. I want her. So he sends for her. Well, Bathsheba's married to Uriah, has a husband. David pushed through that and said, you know what, I still want her. So David slept with Uriah's wife. All was cool, right? Nobody will find out. Slept with her. But something happened in David's situation. She got pregnant. Now what do we do? Oh, my gosh. So David's scrambling around. How do I cover the sin? Well, I'll tell you what. Uriah was a military man. He says, I'll send a letter to my captain and put Uriah the soldier on the front line of battle. Therefore, he dies. First of all, let me back up. First of all, he brings Uriah home from battle, and he says, I want you to go and have some time with your wife. I know you've been on the battlefield all these months, whatever, have some time at home, hoping he would sleep with his wife. And then all of a sudden, she's pregnant, and it's your child, Uriah. Well, that didn't work either. I love how we try to manipulate God, right? So it didn't work because, Dad burn it, Uriah was so faithful and so loyal to David, he wouldn't even go in and sleep with his wife. He says, no, as long as my men are on the battlefield, as long as there's war in the land, I will sleep outside the gate. I will not come in and have good meal and good meat and good dessert and hot coffee, and I will not have relationship with my wife because it's not fair to my men. So here's David ran into a real problem now. Not only am I a scoundrel, but I've got Mr. Holy Man over here that I can't even get to sleep with his wife. I mean, the dude hadn't been with her in months, but he's picking loyalty over this. So now what do I do? So now he writes a letter, sends it to the captain, says, put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle, David knowing he would be killed. So sure enough, he wrote the letter, sent it. They put Uriah on the front line. Sure enough, it came back to David. Uriah's been killed. So now all's cool, right? The husband's dead. Nobody's going to find out. Blah, blah, blah. Well, the prophet Nathan came to David and knocked on his door one day. Boy, none of us want that knock on the door, do we? Did you hear that knock? Listen again. If you hear that, you don't want to hear that. He opens the door. Nathan says, David, you sinned against God. Now, David had a choice to make, and here's where we pick up in chapter 51. When we know we are violating what God wants us to do, we have a choice to either repent and say, Lord, I don't want to do that no more. I want to be better than what I am. Or we can say, oh well, and justify our sins. There's two areas I want to talk about this morning before we get in the scripture. Two facts that I wrote down. And I want to make this very clear, church. Very, very clear. If you get offended by this, it's because, I'm just going to be honest with you, it's because there's probably something in the heart that you need to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you in, okay? There are two topics I want to cover that we are facing in today's world that I know our millennial generation, and we have some millennials here today, and this church knows how much I love all people. I picked up a guy. There was a guy messing around at Randy's shop one day. I went by, and I come by the church, and there's a guy just sitting in his grass with a bicycle just sitting there. So being an aware citizen, I go back around. I look back around. I pull up and just check the situation out, make sure you know nothing hanky-panky is going on around his shop, and just to see if he needed help, just see what's going on. So I pull up, and he sits there, and he says, hey, brother, I know you. And I knew him, too. And he goes, I can't get up this hill on my bike, man. I had open heart surgery. See my scar? And he pulls open his shirt. I said, yep, that's a scar, all right. He said, you think you'd give me a ride? I just live right up here, man. You think that my bike will fit in the back of your trunk? So I pop the trunk, stick the bike in. Guy gets in the front seat with me. I take him home. We're talking. He goes, man, one thing I remember about you. And I'm saying all this to preface this, okay? I'm saying this for a reason. I got in the car. He goes, man, one thing I remember about you way back in the day, and I knew you at Food Line. He says, and this is a black guy. He's going, man, you don't care about that. It don't matter if I'm green, purple, black, or white. That never bothered you, man. You don't care about that. And you white. I mean, you a white boy, and you don't care about that. So at that point, I got his bike out and got out of Dodge because he was getting pretty intense. And I said, you're right, brother, I don't. The whole reason I'm saying this before I say this is y'all know me for many years. This is not an issue of not loving someone. But there are two things I want to bring up that we are fighting in this culture that seems to go either unrecognized or acknowledged as being my choice. And the two things I want to talk about, number one, is abortion. Abortion, if you don't know this, millennials, was legalized in 1973 to where we could legally abort a child's life at a certain point. I want to read you these stats. In 2016, there were 900,000 abortions in the United States. Almost a million babies' lives were ended. I want to make this clear. This is not a political stance. This is not a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian comment. This is a God thing I'm talking about. So if you think I'm spinning this, then your heart's not right. This is God, not political. Since 1973, there have been 53 million abortions that have been documented. 53 million lives because, and I know, and I don't get into all this, I know there are situations that are different than others, but as a whole, the majority of those are out of inconvenience or I'm not ready or I can't do this, so I'll just get rid of this. This is human life that is sacred to God. And we justify it by saying it's my body, it's my choice. It's not your body, it's God's body. God created you. God breathed life into you. God's soul lives inside of you. Your heart beats because of God. Your blood flows because of God. And so we sit back and we see hundreds of thousands of innocent children who have no voice. Now, you know, we're talking about gun rights and all that, and that is a political stance, so I won't go too far on that. But we're talking about gun rights, about protecting our kids at school. Are you serious? We're killing a million babies? You're worried about your middle schoolers? Let's think about where our mind is here. Well, they don't count because they've not really been, you know, they're in there. I can't see them, so they don't exist. You know, even the Catholic Church teaches that life starts at conception. Am I not right, Don? The Catholic Church even teaches that. Not only the Catholic Church is liberal in other areas too, more than I am, but on that, they say, you know what? Life starts at conception. So we see this epidemic in our country, and it's almost like we've gotten used to it, and nobody says anything about it anymore, but it is a sin and a crime against God. The second thing we're facing, and man, this is where we've had the disconnect from the millennial generation in church. This is the, I'm going to tell you what's disconnected our millennials out of the church as a whole, is this topic I'm going to bring up. Because we've justified it. Now, I believe in loving everyone. But when I wake up one morning and had no voice and no vote, and all 50 states of our country now have legalized same-sex marriage where men can be with women and women be with women. Men be with men and women be with women. See, I can't even say it. It's not how I roll. When men can be with men and women can be with women, and I understand people struggle. I have talked to many homosexuals one-on-one. I've took time. People, homosexuals have called me saying, Pastor, I don't want to be this way, or I struggle, or do you think it's wrong? I've had many sit-downs with homosexuals. That's not my issue. My issue is that we glorify it. We glorify it. I remember that NBA player came out a few years ago. He was on the front cover of a magazine. And all the newscasters were saying how brave he was. And what they even used the word hero. He's a hero for coming out. Where did we stop looking at the standard of God and glorifying it? Look, I understand. I have people I know that are homosexuals. I've even got that in my family. Not, you know, my three kids and wife, but my extended family. I've got that. And I love them. I talk to them. I communicate with them. I go eat lunch with them. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, that's great. Let's have a big old parade with banners and rainbow colors and march and say, oh, yes, we embrace what you're doing. We've got to let our hearts return to what God's desires for our lives are. I'm not cracking. I don't believe in calling names or holding signs. I don't say gays go to hell. I don't say that. I'm just saying we shouldn't glorify sin. And these are two topics in our land that I cannot believe that we are facing and that it's acceptable as being okay. David reads here. He knew his sin wasn't okay. Here's the problem. We start justifying our sins. That's when we've crossed the line of, you know what, I better work on this. Because now I'm justifying it. I'm justifying. Well, I've just do it some. But is God calling you to throw it down and walk away? Yeah. Then throw it down and walk away. It ain't that easy, Pastor. With the power of Christ, all things are possible. If any of us in here, I know we don't want to hear this either. If any of us in here want to lose weight, we can. I don't care what none of y'all say, including myself. We can. I've got a gym membership I ain't used in 4 months. And I'm paying for it. I've gotten out of it. What happened? I was doing great. Y'all see me. I was getting chiseled. And then last year we went to Florida for vacation. And I was gone for about 9 days. And it broke the cycle. I just got out of it. I know what you're thinking. You don't need to go, Pastor. Well, I really do. But I appreciate your sentiment. I do need to go. But you know what? If any of us want to lose weight, we can. Don't say, well, it's in my genes. I know it's in your genes. That's the problem. It's in your genes. Well, my daddy was big, and my grandpa was big, and my uncles were big, and my aunt. Look, if you want to lose weight, you can do it. It's a matter of wanting it bad enough to do it. And most of us, including myself, don't want it bad enough to do it, do we, Stacy? We don't really want it bad enough. We would rather have me Pablo's enchiladas and rice and beans than a kale salad. Who wants a kale? What's kale? Kale? Who wants a kale salad? We don't want it bad enough. But here we're in a society where these two topics in our country are there. And I realize, church, we're not going to go back. They're not going to unlegalize same-sex marriage. We've crossed that line. I realize that. My problem is how we just celebrate it. How we just celebrate it. I mean, remember when the rainbow colors appear on the White House? Oh my God, this is the leadership of our nation displaying the rainbow colors in pride. And church, I know we all know someone who's that way. We love them. But just like I tell my own kids, our son used to always try to justify to me and his mama why he did things he did. And it would make him so mad that we wouldn't just say, oh, okay, honey, we support you. We didn't. And we told him that. We don't support it. And he would be so mad. And I love him as much as I love my daughter Christian. I love them equally. But it doesn't mean I got to support what he's doing to love him. In fact, loving him tells him, I don't support what you're doing because it's destroying your life. And he knows we love him. Here's David. He just had this affair with Bathsheba. He had deceived. He had murdered her husband. And here we pick up in chapter 51, verse 1. Here's David crying out to God, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In other words, God, don't allow to happen to me what I deserve, but let your loving kindness somehow change that. According to the multitude of your mercies, blot out my transgressions. Now, if you read some study on this, this confession happens about a year after the affair. About a year has passed by since he had slept with Bathsheba, and now David is crying out to God, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. We're in a world now where I'm not sure if people know what's right or wrong anymore, Gail. They don't know what's right or wrong anymore. To make a confession, Lord, wash me of my sin, means that we take personal accountability for our actions. That we don't justify them and we don't blame them. It's like if you're a young person, a teenager, you're still in high school, middle school, whatever, and you tell your parents, well, you know, they're a bad influence and I was with little Billy and he did this, so I didn't, you know, I was with Billy too when I was a kid and I didn't do that. So don't tell me that Billy made you do it. Or little Susie Q held a gun to your head and made you smoke a cigarette in the bathroom in the fifth grade. Don't tell me that. Take personal responsibility. Yeah, mama. Yeah, daddy. I did it. I'm caught. I surrender. There's something about surrendering, man, that just brings healing. Isn't it hard carrying sins and darkness and secrets? Isn't it hard carrying those things in our hearts that God's speaking to us to get rid of, but we just kind of pack them away and we carry them and we compartmentalize them and we think that we're okay and we don't really release them and let God take them out? And that's why we still have battles, because we've never, as Barney Fife says, we've never nipped to the bud. We've never nip in the bud. We just kind of sugarcoat things. We don't really nip it. We don't just take the root out that's causing the problem. And here's the problem. Sin and evil and wickedness is the problem. And cutting the root out means that we confess, Lord, I need this root out of my life. Take it out of my life. I acknowledge, God, that I'm wrong. He goes on in verse 3 to say this. For I acknowledge my transgressions. How many times do we not really acknowledge our transgressions? We don't acknowledge that I'm wrong. We don't acknowledge the sin. And I want to tell you something. David here is a child of God. His salvation was not gone because of sin. But David had lost his joy and his peace and his strength. He had lost his sensitive relationship he had with God because this always stood in the way. When we are battling things in our lives, and you know, people ask me this, a lot of pastors, you know, I drink every now and then, is that okay? Do this now and then. Look, if anything that God is convicting you of and speaking to you, you need to get rid of your life, period. You need to get rid of it. Don't try to justify, well, I don't drink much as they do, but if God is speaking to you to lay it down, lay it down. There's a reason he's speaking to you. Lay it down. And then don't try to compare yourself to someone else's journey. This is your journey. Look, I'm the first one to believe, and a lot of preachers in the South won't tell you this in a church. I'm the first to tell you from the pulpit that absolutely drinking a beer or drinking a glass of wine or drinking alcohol sends you to hell. I'm not going to say that. What I am saying is I don't do those things. Now, I'm not better than you. I'm not holier than thou, as Jewel said earlier. It's a personal conviction with me. You know, if I cracked open a Michelob Light or something and sat at my house and drank one, I don't think God's going to strike the lightning down and the wrath of God's going to come down. And, you know, I'm going to hear the voice of God saying, oh, thou wicked, evil son, to hell thou shalt go. I don't think that, no. I just got to follow what God leads me. And there's things in my life I made decisions to do that I've stuck with because that's what God has told me to do. Now, I'm like Jewel. I'm not real open either about a lot of things. And so I've got my own battles. Thank God addiction is not one of them. But I've got my battles, and I realize that all of us have our battles. But as God speaks to us and says, why don't you let me have it, and acknowledge this is an interruption in the flow of what I'm trying to do in your life. This is stopping the next position. This is stopping the blessing. This is stopping the relationship. This is stopping the power. Do you remember days, Grandma, do you remember days back in the 60s and 70s and 80s? Man, back in the day when there was so much power in the church. Power of God. The reason there was power in the God is because people were confessing their sins. They weren't trying to hide them. The altars were filled with people weeping and crying out to God, Lord, we need you every day, every hour. God, we need you. And now we've lost that need because everything else becomes more important. Other things have stepped into our lives and taken us away from the sensitivity we used to have in God. We care more what Facebook followers or tweet followers think about us than we do what God thinks about us. How many hits do I have? How many likes do I have? How many followers do I have? Well, you know, why do we care what God thinks about us? Let's see what God thinks about us. My sin is always before me, David said. He was so tormented by this act. He says, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Notice David doesn't say, God, you shouldn't have made her so hot. And God, you really shouldn't let her go out there with no clothes on. Because you know I'm just a mortal man. And God, you shouldn't have moved something that looked as good as Bathsheba next door in my view. Couldn't you got an ugly woman over there? No, God, you had to put her over here. That's kind of how we do things, isn't it? We justify. Well, you know what? If you married my wife, you know, you'd be looking too. That's not me. This is going to sound terrible. I ran into a guy here a while back, a friend of mine, his wife, and I went home and told Melanie, after seeing his wife, I said, honey, I'm so thankful for you. I love you so much. Oh, bless it. God's been so, so good to me. Yes, he has. David made no excuses about, I'm just a mortal man, I'm just weak, God, you know I have this battle. He says, I have done evil in your sight. There's something about confessing that liberates the soul. You ever wonder why criminals sometimes turn themselves in? Don't that seem stupid to a natural mind? Okay, you got away with it, you're running, but you go turn yourself in because confession liberates. Well, confessing spiritually liberates. Let's stop making excuses of why we do the things we do and just say, God, I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my evil. I acknowledge the wrongdoing. And God, wash me and cleanse me and take it away from me. That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you, next verse, judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. And in sin my mother conceived me. And that is true, and we know that. We're born in sin. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. See, we've got to be transformed on the inside. All the outside stuff don't matter if we're not changed on the inside. This is why you can't make someone get saved. You can't make them, you know, feel the Spirit of God. You can't make them shout the joy of the Lord. They've got to be drawn on the inside themselves and feel that. God's got to speak in here. You will make me to know wisdom. Next verse. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David's whole cry is, Lord, I am miserable in the state that I'm in. If you're miserable today in the state you're in, you can be cleansed and washed today and leave feeling clean and free, not condemned and shamed. You don't have to walk out here with that scarlet letter no more. You can say, Lord, wash me. But it comes to acknowledging our sin, confessing our sin, and recognizing our sin, and being honest with God. Next verse. We don't fool God. We can fool a lot of people. See, I don't know what Bill did last night. Christian may not know what Bill did last night. But God knows what Bill did last night. And that's the deal. We can cover a lot of stuff. Man, I'm gone all the time. Melanie's so scattered, she don't have to know where I'm at. I'll tell her, you know, I got this appointment. I'm going to meet somebody at the church at 10. She'll call, where are you at? I'm at the church. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I could be anywhere. She wouldn't know. Bless her heart. I love this verse here. Make me hear joy and gladness. Isn't it joyful when the Lord's presence touches our lives? Isn't it joyful when our feet dance for the Lord, our eyes cry with His presence, our mouth cries and sings out His praise? Joy. There's such an oppression on this world right now, on this generation right now, such an oppression. Everywhere we go, there's you just feel a blanket of oppression, discouragement. You know, when me and Bill were growing up, we're the same age. I know, you know, I look a lot younger, but when me and Bill are the same age, and man, when we were growing up, we had the whole future waiting on us, didn't we? We were excited. We graduated high school, and we're like, man, you know, I had my dream. I don't know if Bill exactly knew what he wanted to do at that age. I knew once I started working in the grocery business what I wanted to do, and he did grocery business too. Well, he still is in the grocery business. And but I was so excited. Man, I graduated high school. I'm a grown adult. No more getting up and going to school. Then I get married to my bride. Man, I'm married. We've lost that. People don't get married no more. They've lost that beauty of what marriage is, of becoming one together. We've lost that. Nobody gets married no more. My business is way down. Actually, I'm doing three. I did one yesterday. I got two in June, so it's a pretty good year so far. But as a whole, marriages are just down because what's the point? Man, the point is everything being a venture together. Man, the first time me and Melanie went to the grocery store as a married couple shopping, as a married couple, it was exciting. I told you this story before, right? I throw in the Duke's mayonnaise in the buggy. She gets the Hellman's. For several years, we had to buy both. Then finally, I won and we got down to Duke's. But it took a while. Everything was exciting. The first time doing everything together as a married couple. And we were young. We bought a house. You know, had our family. Had our 2.5 cars, 3.5 dogs, 1.5 cat, you know what I'm saying? All that family dream, the picket fence, it was beautiful. And I see this generation coming up that doesn't seem to quite have that same zeal and that same passion for the future. And there's an oppression there. And so David's saying, Lord, let me have joy again. Let me have gladness. You have broken, that my bones you have broken may rejoice. I'm so overcome, God, with my sin and with my shame that I have no joy no more. I have no peace no more. I just walk around so heavy garmented. And God, I don't want to be broken no more. As Jewel sung the song, I want to be restored, God, piece by piece. I want to be restored again. God, can you restore me? David was asking for God to restore him. But notice what he was doing. He wasn't making any excuses. He was laying it on the line. God, I sinned. I acknowledge it. I transgressed. I did evil. And God, let your mercy show up and not give me what I deserve, but restore me. Verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Let me ask y'all this, and I'll raise my hand on this question for myself. When we're not in the place we should be with God, we've neglected God, or we're just maybe in a little bad place of our lives, don't we normally kind of ignore God a little more sometimes than we do when we're really flowing? I know I do. I don't want to talk to God. I'm ashamed. I'm so ashamed. I'm so embarrassed. I feel so lowly. How can I go to God right now the way I am? And see, that's a trick of the enemy that he uses, because he knows if that condemnation and shame, well, as long as I keep that on you, I'll keep you out of his presence. That's why we press through like David and just make it right and just say, Lord, I messed up. You know what Jewel shared this morning, man? She just threw it out there. How many were shocked by what she said? Didn't know that, right? But isn't that liberating in a way, Jewel? Liberating. Say, you know what? I was there. And look where God's got me now. I was shattered and living a broken life, and then God has put things back in order in my life. There's something about that liberates us when we just get it off of our chest. And we come to God like David. He is crying out. He has no peace at all. And he's crying out, God, help me. Verse, blot out all my iniquities. He says that again. Blot them out, God. Take them away. And I love verse 10. Verse 8 and 10, I think, is my two favorite in this section. Create in me a clean heart. Lord, create in me a clean heart. We are in an evil generation where hearts are not clean. I wrote down a few of the stats as I wanted to read as I was doing this about the abortions and the same-sex marriage. But there were 15,000 murders in 2015 in the United States. 15,000 murders in 1 year. There were 327,000 reported robberies. 327,000 robberies last year. And there were 124,000 rapes. 124,000 rapes. We have a heart condition is the problem. In the very beginning, we had a heart condition because Adam and Eve had their sons, right? Cain and Abel. And remember, Cain rose up and killed Abel, his own brother. Heart issue. Don't be afraid to let God into your heart. That's where the healing comes. We can superficial things all we want. We can come to the altar and say our thing and shed a few tears and have a surface cleansing. We can have an auto bell cleansing, or we can have a detail shop cleansing. And there's a big difference. If you had cars done between the two, you know. You can get your car pretty clean auto bell for $20-$25, get a good, nice little cleaning. But if you really want it clean, you go spend $150, $125 at a detail shop to get completely all. You know the detail shop that they do? I've had my car detailed, I think, one time, just once. It was awesome, though. They get all the crevices, the cracks, the old ashtrays and cup holders and under your seats. They shampoo the carpets. They do the liner of the ceiling. They do the corners of your windows. I mean, that car, that's why it's called detailed. See, us men, we're AutoZone. You women are detail shops. And I mean detailed. So we can come to the altar and get an auto bell experience and leave feeling better than we did. Or we can come and get a detailed job and really leave feeling clean. Because it's in those crevices of our heart is where that darkness really is. And man, it can come out, and it's there, and it's brewing, and it's rooting, and we're all born with that sin nature. We know that. That's why Jesus had to come. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Man, David was miserable. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, I want to detail what this means. This does not mean what it means in the New Testament. What he's talking about, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, is talking about this really equated to the service of God. If you do some study on this, David's saying, Lord, don't take away how I serve you. Don't take away my responsibilities in the kingdom. Don't take away using me, God. Don't take that away, because I want to be used. Last verse. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Oh God, restore to me the joy. He didn't say restore my salvation. He says restore the joy of my salvation. God, let me embrace and be happy again about who I am in you. I used to be so happy about who I was in you, and now I've got so many disruptions and distractions in my life that take me away. And he says, uphold me by your generous spirit. You're sitting here thinking, okay, I know I've got battles. I know I've got things I need to get rid of. I know there's things I continue to deal with that I'm tired of dealing with that's interrupting my walk with God, but I just can't seem to lay it down. It's too strong for me. It overwhelms me. It overpowers me. How do I do it? Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things. Through Christ. It's not your power. Even losing weight is not by your own power. When you really get serious, you've got to have some divine help sometimes to lose weight. You've got to have some divine help to throw down cigarettes you've been smoking for 50 years. You've got to have divine help to throw down the beer and wine you've been used to all your life. You've got to have divine help to turn off the pornography that you've been involved with. You've got to have divine help to turn off the foul mouth that you use and the words that you use. Some of us have lived our whole lives kind of with this pattern. And so, sometimes it's hard just to, I'm just going to stop doing it. You can't in your own power. but you can through his power. And that's what we got to allow to live in us. Lord, let the power of Christ that lives in me resurrect me and restore me. The broken pieces can't be put together no other way. I can try to do it all I want myself, but I'm going to mess it up. But God, when I allow your presence, you know, Paul says that when I'm weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak, then am I strong. God, when I finally give it all up, then you give it all to me. When I finally come empty, you know, if you go to lunch today and your tea glass is, you know, 3/4 full, it's hard to get much in there. You know, you've still got plenty of tea. It's hard to put much in there. But when it's empty, they can fill that thing all the way up. We come sometimes just kind of 3/4 ready. Okay, God, I got a little room for you. But not too much room. I want you to move, God, but not too much. I want to feel your spirit, Lord, but in a Presbyterian way, not a Holy Ghost way. You know, I want my feet to dance, but in a very reserved way, you know. You know, not leaping and praising God with joy. So we put these boundaries on people. We come to God and say, okay, God, here I am. But let's just come to him like he is. Let's just be like a David and say, Lord, I confess my sin. And God, I need my joy restored. I want to turn back to you. And that's my title, Turn to God. There is still a moral code to live by in the 21st century, in 2018. And we need to, instead of trying to be a friend to everyone, we need to be a light to everyone. And let them know, look, I love you. I love you. But yeah, I'm not going to say this is the way of God. Several years ago, we had a couple that came here, two women that came here, and they were a couple. And they came to me, and they came one Sunday, and they talked to me and says, we are a couple, we are together. Can we come to church here? I said, you absolutely can. Well, I took them to my office first, talked to them a little bit, got their background, we talked a little bit. And I said, you absolutely can come here. I have no problem with you coming here, as long as you're not a disruption and you understand what we stand for here. And you know, and I said, I told my office, I looked at both of them, I said, I want you to understand that I absolutely do not believe this is God's way. I just want you to know that. And they came for a couple of months. One came to the altar one Sunday morning, had altar call. One of the two women came crying at the altar. And then after that, they weren't back anymore. So we know probably what happened there. That's okay, though. A seed was planted, and they were loved, and they knew that. But the same token, they knew, hey, we're not going to celebrate it. You're not going to get your own day on Sunday. You know, this is homosexual Sunday. Yay! You know, we're not going to do that. I mean, I'm telling you, we got to quit glorifying sin and justifying it. That's the problem I have, is it being glorified. I know we have battles. I know we have struggles. But man, we glorify it. And we just think, you know, hey, you know what? It's my world, it's my life, and you're right, it's between you and God. We're not the judge, I understand that. But we are the light. That's right. And church, if we don't flip the switch on, they stay in darkness. Right. And that's what we do when we are just silent. When we don't say nothing, or we say, well, you're okay, then we're keeping him in the darkness of the devil. Instead of flipping the light on and letting them see who Jesus is. And David recognized, even in my sin, Lord, your mercy can keep from me what I deserve. So Lord, let your mercy, let your loving kindness swallow up this sin and blot it away and restore to me and make me feel again the way I did before I messed up. Because we do mess up. But let's be honest and let's acknowledge it. And let's not sugarcoat it and let's not blame someone else for our weaknesses. You know, we're bad about that, especially, I think, in our marriages. You know, if you're married very long, you know, it's easy to blame, you know, well, she nags, or, you know, he don't ever do anything, or he's a lazy bum, and, you know, she's this, and she's a biddy, and he's this, and this, and we justify. You know, when you do marriage vows, I did marriage yesterday here in this church, and one of the part of the vows was, I will love you in sickness and in health, for richer or poor, through good times as well as bad times. And to be true to you and you only as long as I shall live. There's a lot of days that are rotten in marriage, and I ain't going to have none of y'all amen because you got to go home with these people. But there's a lot of days that we have rotten days in our marriage. I get it. But you know what? That's some of the bad times you got to navigate. And you say, you know what? I made a covenant with God. Well, we made a covenant with God as Christians as well to serve Him and to follow Him and to do all we can to do as He calls us to do. Marjorie, come on up if you would. I want to open up the altar this morning. I want to open up the altar this morning. And I want us, put back on verse 8, Brandon. 8 or 10, I'm not sure which one I want. Put up 8 first. If you this morning want to just come, go to verse 10. Let me see that one. Yeah, leave it right there. If you want to come to the altar this morning and say, you know what, I need this right here. God, I need you to create in me a clean heart. I acknowledge, God, that I'm not where you want me to be, and I need your help to get me there. I need your help, Lord. I don't want to be so calloused with the hardness of the world. See, what's happened with the world is it's callousness. Like your feet, when they get calluses, when you walk on your feet and they get those calluses on them, they get used to the terrain of what you're walking on. Our hearts have gotten used to the terrain of the world. The Bible says in Romans 12 to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let the world around you callous your heart to where you can't hear the voice of God, or you do hear it, but you just aren't sensitive enough to follow it anymore. Because your sin, your stronghold, is stronger than that. And you're willing today to say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin and create in me a new heart today. God, I want to leave here making no excuses. That, Lord, I know I'm in the wrong and I need your help every day of my life. I know I'm in the wrong, God. I know I need your strength and I know I need you. And I lay it down today, God, that you help me with my struggles and my problems. That I'm not going to justify them, but I'm going to stand here and give them to you and walk out with a clean heart. If that is you today and you want to talk to God, we're going to pray together at this altar this morning. Pray together for a clean heart as we acknowledge our sin and say, Lord, restore my joy, restore my brokenness, and fix me again, Lord. If that is you, come to the altar and we'll pray together before we leave the altar this morning.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. Hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else can take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find my way. Bring me back to you.
I want to leave here feeling clean today. I want to lay it down. I'm tired of carrying it. I'm tired of carrying this. And I want God to take it away today out of my life as I acknowledge it and actually I'm honest about it, to let Him help bring healing. Come be a part of this morning. Come be a part of this. God's healing is here right now. His healing is here. His presence, His anointing, His power of breakthrough is here, that we can leave changed. Our sins blotted out. Our stronghold set free. God is speaking. Don't delay that. Come join us. Come join us at this altar. We all got our problems. We all got... Lord, we're bowed before you this altar this morning. We're standing in your presence. God, we're in the Holy of Holies right now, touching the face of our Creator. God, with all of our weaknesses, with all of our failures, with all the things that we do, sometimes unintentional and sometimes intentional, God, we pray you wash us this morning, that you cleanse us and you blot out our transgressions, that you restore the joy and the gladness again of our bones, that you lift off the heavy weight of shame and guilt, that you lift off the power of sin that controls our lives and so easily besets us, that weight that so easily gets us off course. We pray for your strength, Jesus, your power, Lord, your favor upon our lives that will pour into our hearts and create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. Pour your presence upon our hearts today, Lord, and lift off every chain that's got us bound, and let our feet dance again. Let our voice declare your goodness. Let our heart beat with passion for your kingdom and the things that you are. Let us once again shout for joy, O Zion. Let us blow the horn. Let us shake the tambourine. Let us beat the drum again, realizing you, God, have saved humanity. We thank you for that. And there is no power in hell or against our lives that can prosper and that can stand at your name. And we pray the shackles be dropped today, and that our hearts be cleansed, and that we are joyful and peaceful again of our salvation. And we walk out of here liberated in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and honor and glory. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.